Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Yesterday evening, Beth and I had the experience I wasn't sure joy was the right word. The experience of taking three kids to Legoland. You understand, there was all kinds of joy to be had. And yes, we had some joy, but I think the experience was more what... Legoland called a brick or treat. So there were lots of kids there. Every child there was in costume. It was wonderful. There were little places around. Not only were there rides, but there were places around where kids could get, you know, candy and juice and things. It was quite an experience. It really was a lot of fun. And one of the things that we did while we were there is they have a number of shows around the park. I mean, many amusement parks do. But we went to one particular show that was a show that included one of our church members, Erin Vanderhyde, who sings in the choir. She was amazing. Like, all the singers were good. But if you spent some time here and you've heard Erin sing, I mean, we have so many gifted voices in this congregation, and Erin just really stood out in this. It was absolutely amazing. She did a version of Respect, just a little clip from Respect that knocked my socks off. She's such a good singer, and she nailed this. It was really, really good. And I would encourage you, I mean, we seem to be a group of people who really love music, and I would encourage you, When you go to some musical kind of performance, or you know you catch something on, you know, PBS or TV or YouTube or whatever, it seems like we do a pretty good job. Oh, there's this song that I heard about. It's just such a good song. Kathleen here sends me every once in a while a YouTube link. Oh, here's this great song that I heard. I love that. And we share this musical sort of affinity, and it's really wonderful. You see what I did there? I had this experience that was really positive, and I talked about it. I mean, it was really an amazing experience, and so I talked about it. And I bet you all have that experience, too. You have that habit, I should say, that when we have an experience, we like to tell people about it, especially when it's a positive experience, when it's a good experience, when it's a profound experience. Beth and I went to the Hollywood Bowl a couple of months ago. We saw Yo-Yo Ma and all these international musicians put this amazing music together. It, again, blew me away. Music is one of the things that will just randomly, like the right song or the right arrangement or the right group of musicians, will just bring me to tears. It's one of those things. Yo-Yo Ma, I just have such great respect for. See, I did it again. I'll probably keep doing it. But it's not only with positive things, isn't it? You ever had that thing? Maybe you go to a restaurant and order, you know, a meal. Or maybe it's a meal that you or a loved one have prepared at home. But it's that hopefully rare experience where, you know, you take that first bite. You know, oh, my goodness. And so what do, right? Oh, my gosh, this tastes terrible. You taste it. We have this terrible experience, and then we try to share it with somebody else. Very often, whether it's a good experience or a challenging experience, a negative experience, we have a tendency to share it. And maybe you've done this too, where you've had a particularly hard day or a hard week, or something has happened in your life that affects you emotionally and spiritually, maybe even physically, and you need some sense of support, of care. And it's my hope that you have the good sense to share those times as well. Most of us, I think, do that. I think it's a natural thing. Something happens in our lives, something happens for us or around us or to us, and we talk about those things. But it seems like when it comes to our faith, we're less inclined to do that. And I say that because that's my experience. So maybe I'm projecting a little bit on you. But at the same time, you know, the conversations I have with folks, when it comes to sort of like, I'm going to share this part of my life. It seems like our faith life is the one that we really have trouble sharing. It seems like our belief in Jesus Christ, the God who created the universe, the presence of the Holy Spirit, is something we have trouble sharing. And I confess to you that I have trouble too. I really do. And I think part of the reason that I have trouble is because there's a general perception in our culture about what a Christian is. You know, if you look at polls and surveys, what is a word that so often comes up when people are asked about Christians? Two words that come to mind that I've read in these surveys and polls: hypocrites, judgmental. I don't want to be associated with that. Comes up for me pretty often with this question: so what do you do for a living? And if I'm in the middle of a great conversation, I'm a little bit afraid to shut it down with, I'm a Christian pastor. Because I've had the experience before. Oh, have a nice day. So it's hard. And I share with you, I confess to you that I struggle with it too. Part of that idea that I don't want to be classified with what sort of so many folks have decided that Christianity is based on a few voices, like it's my own fear, really. It's my fear of being assigned to some of those categories. But doesn't it make sense that if we want to break those perceptions, that we have to be part of the voice that breaks those perceptions? Doesn't that make sense? Like, if we want to change the perception of what Christianity is, don't we have to have the courage to have a voice in that? I think we kind of do. In an effort to be informed by Scripture, I'd like for us to hear a Scripture. We'll invite Rick forward just in a minute to hear from the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. Just in terms of sort of setting up what this Scripture is, this is the section of Acts that really focuses on Paul and part of Paul's journey. Now, it's much earlier in Acts that we hear the familiar story of Paul on the road to Damascus, and he hears the voice coming from the heavens, and there's the light, like I said, the voice, but he has this sense of blindness, and he's blind for a number of days before he becomes healed. And so what we'll hear in a minute is Paul telling this story of his experience of being healed, and one who was there as sort of a presence in the midst of this this healing, a man named Ananias. Now, the reason Paul is telling this story is because he was in Jerusalem, and this giant crowd begins to sort of accost him and tell him, you've been teaching the wrong stuff. You used to be on the good side of the sort of religious divide. You used to be this faithful Jew, and now you're doing all this other stuff. He's accosted either in or around the temple. I can't remember which. And he's so at risk personally that Roman soldiers are paying attention, and they come and they start talking to him, and they want to interrogate him more, and so they take him to these military headquarters, but they have to surround him with soldiers so that the crowd won't attack him. Like, that's the context of what Paul is dealing with. And as we hear in the Scripture, Paul starts out by telling his story. He really starts out by saying, listen, I'm not quite who you have decided that I am, which is something we can learn from. And then he tells his story. He tells his story, frankly, not unlike a way that Rick told his story today in our stewardship moment. It's an opportunity for us to help change some of the perceptions about who Christians are, about who people of faith are. And so I'm going to invite Rick up to come and read. This is out of the 22nd chapter of Acts. And it's a fairly short verse. It's only verses 12 through 16. The translation he'll read is the Common English Bible.
There was a certain man named Ananias. According to the standards of the law, he was a pious man who enjoyed the respect of all the Jews living there. He came and stood beside me. Brother Saul, received your sight, he said instantly. I regained my sight, and I could see him. He said that the God of our ancestors had selected you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear his voice. You will be his witness to everyone concerning what you have seen and heard. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins as you will call on his name.
Just the first half of the 16th verse stands out to me. What are you waiting for? If part of our fear about sharing our faith, if part of your fear like mine is about being sort of lumped in with what sort of culture has decided that Christians are, if part of your fear is being lumped into that, and if we have the opportunity to change that conversation with our own voice, what are we waiting for? Because I'm tired of being lumped in with the people on radio and TV who says that this national disaster in this part of the world is because God's mad at us. It's not the God I believe in. The God I believe in is a God of joy, a God of salvation, a God of grace, a God of love. I want to talk about that God. But we cannot change the global sort of assumption of what Christians are unless we participate in that change. We must use our voices. I want to share with you a couple of experiences that I've had, and one maybe you've heard me talk about before. We were living in Grand Island, Nebraska, and the city council in Grand Island was had a public hearing to discuss a set of protections that were related to protecting LGBTQ persons from discrimination, specifically in city jobs. There had been a previous one that would have been a citywide protection, and that one failed. I was at that city council meeting, that public hearing, and it failed, but I decided I was going to go to this next one as well. And so there was the public hearing, and I had an opportunity to speak, and I introduced myself. You know, I'm Bob Rhodes. I'm the pastor at this church, and here's what I want to say. That one passed through a little bit of sort of political drama. It was sort of fun to watch. But here's the part that I want to tell you about, that there was a young woman who came up to me after that city council meeting, and she came up and she introduced herself to me, and she said, you know, I want you to know, I want you to know that I'm a lesbian, and that never in my life have I heard someone start with the words, I'm a Christian pastor, and then said words that showed love and care to me and my community. It was a profound experience, certainly for her, to see that Christians weren't all like what she had heard. But I got to tell you, it was a profound experience for me. One, to meet someone who didn't understand a God of love the way I understood God. She went on to start an anti-bullying group that met in our church that was specific around anti-bullying for LGBTQ kids. It's amazing. Even when it comes to those questions that come up for me all the time, what do you do for a living? I've made a choice to make a change. Because to be honest with you, when somebody has come to me and said, what do you do for a living? Sometimes I don't have a lot of courage and I say this. I administer a nonprofit, which is mostly true, but if I'm really honest with myself, isn't it sort of a lie by omission? I am a Christian pastor. Let me tell you about another conversation I had with someone, though. This was just a few weeks ago, and I was chatting with the father of one of my youngest son's friends. Now, their family knows what I do for a living, and it hasn't really come up in conversation, at least with me, but they know because those things come up. But we've never really talked about it face-to-face. And so at one point, I was telling our youngest that, you know, remember, I'm not going to see you after school. I'm going to be out of town for a few days. And so this other parent said to me, well, you know, you're going out of town for a few days. What are you doing? And I said, well, I'm going to a conference that has to do with a scriptural basis for inclusion of our gay and lesbian sisters and brothers. He goes, really? I said, yeah, the church I have the privilege of serving is a church that's inclusive of our gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender siblings. He said, really? Because he heard some of those louder Christian voices who were so hurtful and discriminatory. And just in this one-on-one conversation was an opportunity to claim who Christians can be. But I've made a couple of other decisions. Here's one that I don't necessarily say that you all have to do, but it's one to sort of force me to continue to claim and know who I am as a creation of God. I got a new license plate. We have a picture of my new license plate. Now, part of... you don't have to applaud my license plate, but part of what this means is I have to drive nicely, right? Because if you get cut off by somebody whose license plate says Pastor Bob, that may not give you the right impression of a person of faith. But Beth and I were doing something. We pulled up to Ace Hardware right over here a couple blocks up. We pulled up into Ace Hardware and somebody pulled in behind us. And you know what he said? So you're a pastor. Yes, I am. I'm glad he didn't say, so you're a poster or a pester. Because really, it could go any of those ways. My children like to point that out to me. He said, so you're a pastor. We had a great conversation. We had a great conversation. What if somebody's in traffic? What if somebody's in traffic and I let somebody in, which I've done from time to time, mostly, and they say, oh my goodness. It says, Pastor, that's kind of a cool thing. He's living it. Here's another thing that I'd like to show you that helps me to sort of name who I am, just the coat, is I got a new tattoo. I got this around Pentecost, and really it's a Pentecost-themed tattoo, but because it has these flames around it, but in the negative space you see a dove. For me, it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. But you know, sometimes I'll be somewhere and somebody, tell me about your tattoo. And it gives me an opportunity, to talk about my faith, but to be honest, it's also like I'm out of excuses. Like really, I have to be courageous at this point. Now, I'm not advocating that you all go out and change your license plates and get tattoos. I mean, if you want to, that's fine. But I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm saying find a way that's right for you to continue to talk about your faith, to help you step outside of some of the fears that happen, and to talk about your faith. There's something that I think is helpful when it comes to sort of changing the conversation about what Christians are. I was given by one of our choir members, I was given a bulletin. She was visiting a place in Kansas, and part of this bulletin in this town where she went to church in Kansas had a statement on it that says, a progressive Christian congregation in this town in Kansas. And part of what this person said was, well, you know, what if we put something like that in our bulletins, a progressive Christian congregation in San Diego, California? I thought, I haven't made a decision on putting this in our bulletin, but I thought if we're going to put this in the bulletin, I ought to know what a progressive Christian is. So I looked it up. And actually, there's some pretty good things that maybe we'll talk about at some point. But one thing stood out to me. And I talked about this in different language before. I've talked about living a questionable life, right? We've talked about that. Living your life that's so profoundly for others that people end up asking you questions, right? Here's another way to think about this, and here's what I found when I looked up what's a progressive Christian. And one of the eight things that was on this website said this: we believe that the way we treat the people around us is the fullest expression of what we believe. The way we treat people around us, whether they're our neighbors who we've known for a long time or the stranger on the street, the way we treat people is the fullest expression of what we believe. We can be a witness to the world in the way we share what we believe and how we treat people. We can be a witness to the world in terms of changing what the national and international perception of what Christians are by lending our voices to say, no, that's not what a Christian is. At least that's not what my expression of Christianity is. And here is a God of love and compassion and grace. And we got to work at it. We got to figure out what it is that blocks us from it and figure out a way to get around it. If license plates and tattoos are your thing, great. If not, find a way that works for you. What would it look like to invite someone to come to church with you? What would it look like to invite someone to build a float One of the things I love about this church's ministry in the Pride Parade is the surprise and spontaneous applause when people see that the next float is from a church. What would it look like to invite someone to our annual picnic? You know, and I'm getting practical here, and here's the next thing that I want to invite you to consider. What would it look like to invite someone to your house to watch a movie? Maybe something Scrooge-related. We like a Christmas carol, don't we? Our sermon series that starts the last Sunday in November and goes up through Christmas Eve, there's some room in there because we've got a couple of great musical offerings happening. So the sermons those days will be short, which means maybe it's a good day to invite someone to church. But we'll do a sermon series that parallels the story of A Christmas Carol. And we have a short video, it's about a 20-second video, that just highlights this for us. Any version of Scrooge that's your favorite, whether it's the Jim Carrey version or the Bill Murray version or some musical version, what if you have some folks over to talk about it? And then say, I don't want you to be deceptive about any of this. Go, you know, invite people with sort of the full expression of what you're hoping for to say, oh, and by the way, I'm going to do this thing at my house. We're going to watch Scrooge. We're going to talk about it. But also at my church, we're exploring Scrooge in the Christmas story all together. And how it might help us as people who participate in the world and want to make it a better place. By the way, if you're going to host a place, if you're going to host a Scrooge party, let me know. I'd like to share that with other people so maybe you can get some more folks at your Scrooge party. Another practical way that we can talk about our faith. What a privilege it is. What a joy it is. What an experience it is. To be able to come into this place every week, to be in a community that is a full expression of what we believe, to be in a community that shows deep and profound and transforming love. Let's tell the world about it. Let's change the conversation. Let us be the presence of Christ, and let us make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Amen. Holy and gracious Creator, it is wonderful to come and to be in this place, to feel connected with one another. We are reminded that it is your spirit of love that connects us to one another. We lift up in this time of connection these prayers of your people. Holy God, we bring all these prayers to you and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.